join with us wherever you may be watching, in different parts of London and even across the world. Welcome to our online service. Let me begin with a couple of questions. I wonder, how are you feeling right now in 2021 as we begin to come out of lockdown? As you look at our nation, as we look at the world, I wonder, what is your overriding emotion? And as you think of the church, Christ's bride, the church, are you full of hope or are you full of despair? Let's think of our nation for a minute, the nation of Britain. At the moment, we're tentatively taking steps out of lockdown and out of a global pandemic that has affected us for the last 15 months. Politicians are accusing one another of lying left, right, and centre. The economy is greatly uncertain. Will it bounce back? Will it be a great downturn? What will the future look like? The number of suicides is on the rise. There's a huge increase in mental health issues. There's knife crime on our streets. Gangs are commonplace. And there's a cloud of hopelessness that sits over the nation. Britain is a broken nation. It's a nation that is lying in ruins. Let's think of the church for a moment. Let's think of Hope Church. Hope Church has not met in person for 14 months. We've adapted, but there's been a sense of loss. We've got some building challenges around us. We miss corporate worship, gathering together and praising Jesus. There's a yearning for fellowship. There's a yearning to one another, to encourage and see people in the flesh. There's a sense of loss, a sense that something is missing. And then as individuals, many of us, if we're honest, are just exhausted. There's grief of different types. Grief of loved ones who have lost and died. Grief of events that never happened. Grief of not being able to live life the way you want to. Most of us feel just emotionally spent. There's no bandwidth. There's no margin. We've got nothing left to give. And the future is uncertain. We feel fragile. And we feel on edge. What we're going to do over the next 8 weeks as a church is we are going to look at the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Now, all scripture, I believe, is relevant and can be applied to our lives. But let me say this, the book of Nehemiah just feels particularly relevant and poignant to us right now. In 2021, and to us as a church. The title of this preaching series is Refocus, Rebuild, Revival. Let me give you just brief context before we get into looking at Nehemiah chapter 1. So the context of Nehemiah is Nehemiah was written 2,500 years ago. Nehemiah was a great leader who changed a nation. But he wasn't a religious leader. He wasn't a rabbi, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't a pastor or a vicar or a minister. No, he was a layman. He was the cupbearer to the king. In 605 BC, the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem. A few years later, in 586 BC, the Jews were then taken into captivity and the city of Jerusalem was left in ruins. Jerusalem lay in ruins for 141 years. There's a gap until we pick up the story, the beginning of Nehemiah in 445 BC, when some visitors come to see Nehemiah. And we pick up the story at the beginning of Nehemiah chapter 1. So I'm going to read the first three verses. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Haikalai. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. The reality of the situation. On a particular day, Chislev, it's kind of the end of November, some visitors come to see Nehemiah. And Nehemiah asks them about the Jews and about Jerusalem. And they paint the painful reality of the situation. There was a remnant, a small number of Jews who were still faithful. But they were in trouble and they were struggling. Because the greater part had left and were no longer faithful, no longer part of that remnant of God's people. So the people were few, and the once great city of Jerusalem lay in ruins. The walls were destroyed and rubble, and the gates were burnt to ashes. If you want to picture this, then think of an image of war-torn Beirut or war-torn Baghdad, with buildings like rubble on the ground, or at least half built because a bomb had hit them. That's the type of picture we're to have in our minds. Jerusalem lay in ruins, and God's people were but a remnant, a small part that was left, because the greater part had dispersed and broken away. Spiritually, God's people were not meeting to worship and not meeting to read scripture. Now, when you hear the reality of a situation like that, the bad news, when you hear that, some people's tendency is to bury their head in the sand. They say, I prefer not to know what things are really like out there. They say, ignorance is bliss. I'll just carry on regardless. But you know, that's not good leadership. And that's not helpful. I want to tell you about the Stockdale Paradox, which was made famous by Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. Admiral James Stockdale was a prisoner of war in the Vietnam conflict. He is a prisoner of war for 7.5 years in tough and depressing conditions. And he said this about the ones who didn't make it. The ones who didn't survive were the optimists. The ones who said, we'll be out by Christmas, we'll be out by Easter, we'll be out by the summer. They died, he said, of a broken heart. Now, this is what's been called the Stockdale Paradox. Listen, because it's about confronting reality and maintaining our faith. He said this, never confuse faith that will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. In 2021, we need faith more than ever before. But we also need to face the brutal facts. We need to face the reality of the situation that we are living in. We need to have this Stockdale Paradox. In 2021, the church has some big challenges. Numbers are dropping. Churches that have opened since the lockdown have seen a 35 to 40% decrease in numbers. There's a pain and a need everywhere we look. The need is great. The need is massive. There's been a sifting of those who are faithful and disciples and followers of Jesus over the past 14 to 15 months. Some have fallen away. Others have grown stronger in their faith. The mission remains desperate to tell people about Jesus, but the laborers are so few. There's big challenges. We need to be real about the big challenges that we are facing. And I wonder, are we like Nehemiah? Are we willing to face the reality of the situation that we are in 2021? Now, I'm an optimist. All of you who know me on any level will know that I am an optimist. And that's how God made me. And I'm going to apologize for that. That's God's made me an optimist. But I sometimes have an unhelpful tendency to sometimes delay facing facts. Sometimes if an email comes in, I know it's a bad news or it's a no to something that you've been pressing for. I can sometimes ignore it and try to carry on with some other things rather than address the reality that is in front of me. I'll delay responding. But I need to teach myself, and I'm getting better at the ability to face reality, to deal with what is in front of us. You see, God has placed you and I in 2021 for a purpose. We need to face the reality of the situation, the ruins and strife and pain of this nation. Face the reality and see what God would have us do. Rebuilding, revival, all those things, they start when we face the reality of the situation that we are in. When you've got a camera, one of those kind of old-fashioned but or kind of highly technical cameras. To refocus, you need to get the lens to focus in perfectly on the situation so then you can take the perfect picture. Friends, so often our lenses are clouded and out of focus and we just say, oh, that's okay. No, we need to refocus and see the reality of the situation that we are facing, the ruins, the strife, the problems, the difficulties, the pain and the grief. We need to refocus on what we are facing and then with God's help and faith that He will give us, we are to act. So, Nehemiah faces the reality of the situation. But then let's see what happens next. Verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. And I mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You see, when Nehemiah heard this news about the reality of the situation that he was facing, when things came into focus, he did what Jesus would do 500 years later. He wept. He mourned and he wept. You see, Nehemiah's heart was broken. It was devastated. Something very interesting that you could easily miss is that how many years had Jerusalem been like that? How many years had there been a remnant in exile? How many years had all these things been taking place? 141 years. The situation had been desperate. The situation had been bad for 141 years. It hadn't just taken place. It wasn't new information. So why did Nehemiah suddenly start weeping and praying and fasting and mourning? Because I believe he got a revelation from the Holy Spirit. He got a revelation from God and his heart was broken. What COVID-19 and this global pandemic has done, it has stripped away so many things that now we can see the reality of the situation. And I believe that in that reality, there is then the reaction that the Holy Spirit brings to our hearts and to our emotions. Let me be real honest with you. In the early days when the news coverage was everywhere, we were in full lockdown, I would weep sometimes at the news, at the death figures, the numbers of people who were dying. I would feel deeply hopeless about the suicide numbers or the impact that lockdown and no school was having upon our children and young people. When George Floyd and all that horrible injustice and racism happened just over a year ago, I was crushed. I was angry at the injustice and crushed at the sin of humanity and one man to another. The emotions and the anger and the pain and the weeping welled up inside of me. Listen, the worst thing that you and I can do when we hear about the reality of our world is just shrug our shoulders. Doesn't matter. Doesn't apply to me. Jesus saw pain, injustice. He saw mess all through his earthly life on this planet. And it provoked a reaction with the Son of God. You see, Jesus was angry when he saw the injustice and the way that people were manipulating the temple by the money changers. And so he upturned the temples. He was angry at the mistreating of his Father's house, a house of prayer. Jesus stood up for the woman who was caught in adultery, who was being stoned by the Pharisees and the scribes. He stood up for her. He wept at the death of Lazarus. He wept at a friend who had died prematurely. He wept with Mary and Martha that their brother had passed away. And there was deep emotion. A number of times in the gospel, it says in the Greek, there was deep emotion in Jesus' gut in the face of sick and crippled and those who were ill. Jesus felt. He reacted to the reality that he saw. Feeling things is good. It's good. I think sometimes as Christians, we know so much. We know it. And sometimes we can even see it. We know what's wrong. We see the injustice. We see the pain. We see the grief. We see the difficulties. But we've got to let it drop and impact our gut, our feelings, anger, weeping, mourning, empathy, love, compassion. These are good reactions when we see the pain of the reality in this world. I would say, ask Jesus a very dangerous prayer. Ask him to stir a reaction inside of you for what you see of the ruins and the pain of this world. Now, Nehemiah chapter 1, we see the reality of the situation. We see the reaction of Nehemiah. And then we see that revival starts with prayer. Nehemiah 1 verses 5 to 11 is a prayer. Now there's prayer all the way through the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 1 opens with prayer, and at the end of the book there is a prayer. There is 12 different prayers throughout the book of Nehemiah. Some are long and some are short, but prayer is everywhere. Prayer is talking to Jesus. It's talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me just briefly take you through this prayer. So Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the prayer begins like this. Nehemiah said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. What's he doing there? Nehemiah is beginning with adoration. He's beginning by looking up. He's reminding himself that God is Lord of all, that he is the creator, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is painting the broad canvas. Before he gets to the detail, he's painting the big brush strokes of adoration, an awesome God. Then he goes on to confession, verse 6 to 7. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Nehemiah confesses before God. He is accountable for the wrongs of God's people, the Israelites. Now, it's very significant because Nehemiah is not casting judgment. He is not being critical of others. He's saying we're all in this together. He's saying, look, we're all part of the mess. We're all part of the failure. He says very clearly, I and my father's house are part of the ruins and the mess. And when we look around in our world, we are not to be judgmental, but we are to say, look, we're part of the mess too. The Bible is very clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then what does he do next? Verse 8 to 11. He uses the scriptures and God's promises to pray. Verse 8. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servants today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Remember, you see, Nehemiah is praying. Remember, he's calling on the promises, the covenants of God. Nehemiah is asking, based on what God has promised to his people. Church, we're to have confidence when we pray God's scripture. Someone once said it like this, in the jungle of life, when we pray with our words, we fight with our hands. When we pray with scripture, we fight with a sword. I love that. And you know, all of revivals throughout history are birthed in prayer. It begins with prayer. From the New England Revival in 1734, to the Great Awakening, to the Welsh Revival in 1904, to the revival sweeping across Africa, or the revival over the last 50 years in China. Each and every one of these revivals is documented as beginning with prayer. Beginning with individual and then corporate prayer. You see, prayer is what births revival. Revival begins with prayer. Now, I just want you to notice one final thing. Verse 11, right at the bottom, it says, now, after the prayer, it says, now I was cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah there is saying, look, I serve the king. This is an example of servant leadership. God uses him as a man who basically says, here I am, I, God, send me. Like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, here I am, Lord, send me. That's what Nehemiah is praying. I'm cupbearer to the king, but Lord, use me. Use me where you've placed me. Use me in the palace. Use me with this burden you put on my life. And he sacrifices, we'll see, the comfort of the palace for the ruins of Jerusalem. Nehemiah just prayed, and then he was part of the answer. The greatest example of this is Jesus. You see, Jesus saw the reality of the situation. He saw the mess that the world was in. He saw that man could not save himself. He saw the pain of sin and injustice. He knew the judgment of God that was coming. So his reaction was one of such love for humanity that he wept over Jerusalem and he stepped down from heaven to walk on this earth, to live the perfect life and to die on the cross in our place. And Jesus rebuilt the way from us to God through his death on a cross. Where man and God were in perfect unity in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, sin came as a division between them. The cavity between man and God was sin. But Jesus died on the cross to rebuild a way from man to God. So let me conclude at the beginning of our journey through Nehemiah, a poignant, prophetic, relevant book for our time. The reality of the situation in 2021 is that the world is in ruins. People are in the depths of despair. There needs to be a reaction from you and I, from the church. Pray the prayer, God, break my heart with the things that break yours. Let the Holy Spirit burden us with the injustices, with the pain, with the grief, with the sickness that only Jesus can deal with. And change, revival, starts with prayer. To see the church come alive and thousands come to Christ. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for the book of Nehemiah. I thank you for how relevant it is for us today. We see the reality of the mess of our nation and we know the troubles that we are facing. Father, I pray for a Holy Spirit reaction within us, that this would just not be knowledge, but it would go and react and react and react inside of us, individually and corporately. And I pray today that we would birth so much of what is to come in the following weeks and what you call us to do. We would birth it in prayer. It will be birthed out of prayer. Lord, I long to see revival in this nation. I long to see thousands come to Christ, lives transformed by the gospel. I love to see the streets, places of peace on our city. I love to see the sick healed and the lame walk, and those who are mentally struggling with so many demons in their heads set free. Lord, we long to see those things happen. And thank you, Jesus, that you use people like us to be part of the answer. So stir us afresh, Lord, for this new season. Use each one of us as we see the reality, as you stir our hearts, and as we begin in prayer for all that you have for us. We want to rebuild the walls, and we want to see revival come in Jesus' name.
Worthy is that.